Then God said, let us make man in our image, in our likeness, and let them rule over the fish of the sea and the birds of the air, over the livestock, over all the earth, and over all the creatures that move along the ground. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God he created him. Male and female he created them. God blessed them and said to them, be fruitful and increase in number. Fill the earth and subdue it. Rule over the fish of the sea and the birds of the air and over every living creature that moves on the ground. Then God said, I give you every seed-bearing plant on the face of the earth and of the whole earth and every tree that has fruit with seed in it. They will be yours for food. And to all the beasts of the earth and all the birds of the air and all the creatures that move on the ground, everything that has the breath of life in it, I give every green plant for food. And it was so. God saw that he, all that he had made, and it was very good. And there was evening, and there was morning. It was the sixth day. Now, if we take these verses in context and we read the whole chapter of Genesis, then we see that this part of the creation of human beings is in a way different from the other parts of the creation. It strongly emphasizes that human beings are different from non-living items in creation and also from non-human creatures, from animals. Now here God says, not simple, let there be, but he says, let us make. And that us has been explained by commentators as a proof of the Trinity. By saying us, God makes it very personal. There's another important point in Genesis 1, and that God does not say in this situation according to their kind, but no, he says now in our image and in our likeness. The image of man and woman is not just an image of him or herself. He or she also reflects the image of his creator. That means that some of the features of God are upon you and me. What exactly? Well, you know, I tried to find a euro yesterday, and I did not succeed. I had only 1 euro, but it was from another nation. But I found 20 euro cent with the image of the Dutch queen, Beatrix. That means that some of her characteristics, some of her features, are back on the coin. We see something of the Dutch queen here on this coin. It's completely different, of course, than the real person. But still, there is something of the Dutch queen here. And so it is also with God and us. It's not that we are the same. But there are similarities. There is a analog. There is a something of God that he puts upon human beings. That's good news, of course. It's good that we and our brother and sister and our family members are being created in the image of God. But it means that everybody is created in the image of God. Every human being, including our enemies. Now, of course, the question is, what does it exactly mean, being in the image of God and in the likeness of God? In the Old Testament, in the Tanakh, it's only mentioned a couple of times in the Genesis, but it does not really explain what it means. It does not really say clearly what it means. What exactly, what kind of features of God are upon us as human beings? So that gave a kind of room for explanations, for different kind of explanations. Now, if we look at church history, then we see that there have been different schools of thought, different ways of explaining this Imago Dei, the image of God. There's a first school of thought, and I think that we are all familiar with that. That's probably the most important one. That's ranging from Augustine to Aquinas, and they all said, they all have noted that humans, like God, are able to reason. They are spiritual. They have a soul. They have a spirit. They can influence the surroundings. They are immortal. They have eternal life. They are free to make decisions. They have an own will. How far the will is free or not free, that's a matter of debate. And they have a personal identity. They have a personhood. And I think all these things are very true. I mean, we can't deny that human beings are different from animals because of these characteristics that the same God has and we have also. Others have noted the relation between humans and God. They say, we can go into a relationship. There is a possibility of relationship between human beings and God. God is looking for human beings. He's looking to build up a relationship. And human beings can respond to that. And for sure, that's also true. We can respond to the word of God. We can communicate with God. This is a very important feature of human beings. A couple of weeks ago, I was visiting the Brain Research Center at the Bar-Ilan University. It was a huge building with extremely strong security, because not everybody can get in. But I went there with a scientist. It was a computer scientist. And he said, I asked him, of course, why are you as a computer scientist working in the Brain Center? And he said, well, most of the people who work here are biologists and they are neurologists and they are physicists. But I work here also as a computer man, as a computer scientist, because what we want to do is we want to recreate the human brain. We want to analyze the 100 billion brain cells that everybody has. 100 billion brain cells are here and with you. Can you imagine? That's really a lot. And we want to map it. We want to collect the information from the brain cells. And we want to bring that information into the computer. And let's see what happens. And of course, the idea is that the intelligence, the human intelligence, will be transformed in the computer. And this will have, if they succeed, and it's of course a process, it's not one day to another day. No, the computers will get better and better. And for sure, it's sure that you can create artificial intelligence. But, he said, now, that will be, if we succeed in doing that, then we will have all kind of very nice questions. For instance, we want to see, that was an important question for him, because he was religious. He said, we want to see whether we succeed in doing that, whether the computer also starts believing in God. Yeah. Well, personally, I don't think it will happen. I think that you can indeed have intelligence, artificial intelligence, but it is something else that the computer will start believing. Why? Because there is, of course, there is a relation between the physical condition of human beings and his soul. But there is also something of God that God put in us. That is the spirit. And in order to believe and to have a relationship with God, you need a spirit. And we have a spirit. This is what God created in us. And that's why we can respond to his calling. We can respond to his call to be in relationship with him. Now there's a third explanation of Genesis. There's also a very important explanation which is more recent. That's a kind of explanation from modern scholarship. And they said, well, when in the time when Genesis was written, in that time the concept of Imago Dei, of the image of God, was already well known here around Israel. It was already something that people were familiar with. But it was something completely different. It means in Egypt and Mesopotamia, there was a king. Yes, you had high above, you had the gods. And down under, you had the human beings. And in between was the king. Yes? And the king was the Imago Dei. He was the image of God. So not you and me, not the normal beings. No, only the king was the image of God. And then all of a sudden, the Israelites, they became familiar with the idea that all human beings, everybody, was the created in the image of God. So this was nothing else than a revolution. It meant that God was concerned for everybody. He cares for everybody, for all the people, not just the king, but all the people have the calling to rule. Now, there's one other scripture I would like to read. That's from Psalm 8. That also deals about ruling and about the high position that God gave to human beings. It says in Psalm 8, verse 4 and 5, what is man that you are mindful of him? The son of man that you care for him? You made him a little lower than the heavenly beings and crowned him with glory and honor. Well, these verses beautifully sum up the position of human beings. In verse 4, it says that actually human beings are very weak creatures. Because what are we that God cares about us? Sometimes you think that. In a way, it puts us in the proper place. Because we are very small if we compare ourselves to the Lord. But the second verse, it says that God does pay attention to everybody. He considers them to be high. Now, all these verses that are read from Genesis and from Psalm 8, they indicate that all nations and ethnic groups and peoples and individuals are precious in the Lord's eyes. Of course, there are a lot of differences. There is not; it's not that everybody is the same. It would be very boring, of course. There are differences between individuals and also between nations. And there are different tasks for individuals and different tasks for ethnic groups. But still, their status is very high. For God, the beggar and the billionaire are as precious, as valuable. Every human being has an inherent dignity and value worth. The ethics of God is completely different than the ethics of the world. That's very important to know. That God's way about thinking about human beings is completely different than the ethics of the world. It's a completely revolution. He turns things around. And this we should also always keep in mind. And also in that way we should think, I think, differently. We should not be the same as the world around us. We should be critical about the things that people say about other, or about other individuals, but also about other ethnic groups and nations. I give you two illustrations of image of God. John Wesley, he was the great forerunner of the evangelical movement and the founder of the Methodist movement. He referred to American slavery as the vilest that ever saw the sun. So he and his followers advocated a ban on slave trade. John Wesley thought that if people are created in the image of God, it's impossible that you have a distinction between free men and slaves. It is absolutely against the will of God. And then he lived in the 18th century, and in 1784, the Methodist Conference declared slavery as contrary to the law of God, referring to the fact that people are, quote, capable of the image of God. The conference required of Methodist slaveholders to set their slaves free within 1 year. And if they would not do that, they would lose their membership. So this is a very important that Christians have been in the forefront of social renewal. That this idea of image of God will be reflected in the social structures around us. I give another example, a very vivid example that I will never forget. This meeting I had a long time ago, more than 10 years ago I think, with a rabbi in the Mea Shearim. It was somewhere in the alleyways of the Mea Shearim, far away, hard to find, but it was in the building. I spoke to a rabbi, and he was the head at that time of the Chesed Ve'emet. And I was speaking to him, and he had a need to talk. It was a very interesting conversation. He said, "What I'm doing is every time when there is a bomb attack here in Jerusalem, I go out with the ambulance. And we are collecting body parts of the terror victims. And not only the terror victims, also the the traffic victims, if there is a severe traffic accident, they are being called and they are collecting body parts. And of course I asked him, why are you doing that? And is it difficult? And he said, well, it's extremely difficult. It is so difficult that it is hard for us to talk about it. And some of the men in my group, they already stopped doing this work. And then I said, of course, so why are you doing it? And he said, now I quote him, God created every human being in his image. Every human being is an image of him. That image has to be buried completely. You bring together the parts and form in this way. You bring back the form of the image. You do the maximum to restore what somebody has been. And then some people in the street were criticizing him, of course, because he was also collecting the body parts of the suicide bomber. And he said, quote, it is not him, it is not him. It is the image of Elohim. This is how we see him. So he took this idea of image of God very literally and connected it to the human body. Okay, I see I have to hurry up a little bit. But still I want to say something about Genesis before I move to the New Testament. Have you ever wondered why God created you? Why did God create the creation? Why did he create human beings? Well, at least here, one of the reasons is given. That is, to rule the earth. People rule the earth in his name. God gave them the obligation to rule. Human beings are a king in his name. Now, to rule has been explained many times by Christians in the past, is to exploit, to do whatever you like to do, and take out of the earth what is possible, and take it for your own benefit. But nowadays, luckily, in Christian thought, there is a big change of thinking. Now many Christian thinkers say, it's not just to rule, it's not just man above nature, it's man with nature. It is to rule, but in the sense that we have to do it in a responsible way. And that's also the reason that, because of this change of thinking, that more and more evangelical Christians worldwide, they become concerned about ecology. And in the platform of the Orthodox Christian parties in Europe, the care for the environment is very important, and rightly so. I don't want to elaborate on this, but for future generations, the changes in ecology, the changes in environment, might be a greater threat for survival than weapons of mass destruction. So I think that ecology is something that Christians should be concerned about. Okay, now to sum up, to conclude, I want to go to the image of God in the New Testament. We see that the idea of image of God is coming back in the New Testament, but it's being used slightly differently. Jesus is seen in the New Testament as the image of God par excellence, as the real, as the complete, as the highest form of image of God. Other human beings have to be transformed in Jesus' image to get back the image of God. Now, first of all, it looks a little bit contrary to what Genesis 1 says, but it is not. Of course it's not. Of course it's not. Because the image of God in humans is broken, is corrupted. You can imagine if you, sometimes I go to an archaeological dig, especially if there's something new to see. And then somebody will come, one of the students of archaeology or one of the archaeologists, they will put something in his hand. So look, this is this and that, you know. And then for me it doesn't make any sense because it looks just like a stone. But they studied for it, of course, and that's why they know it. But you can imagine that old coins, they can be very much damaged. Or you can maybe imagine that a mirror gives an image. It gives an image of yourself. But if a mirror is broken. It's not really the image anymore. You look very strange all of a sudden, and you're glad you are not in reality like that. But so it's a distorted image, and in that way, because of the fall in sin, the image of God became broken. The image of God became corrupted, and only Jesus shows us really what the image of God is. Paul says in Colossians 1:15, He is the image of the indivisible God, the firstborn over all creation. And in 2 Corinthians 3, verse 18, it says, And we who with unveiled faces all reflect the Lord's glory, are being transformed into his likeness with ever-increasing glory, which comes from the Lord who is the Spirit. Jesus is the perfect image of God. And he is a perfect image, and we have our relationship with Jesus, and this is how the image of Jesus and the image of God the Father is being reflected in our lives. Can you imagine of a Christian, of a believer, of a fellow believer, maybe a few, that really has something, that makes you jealous, has something that you say, hey, this is really an example for me. He or she is really an example. He has something that makes me jealous, that I would like to have also. Well, I know of several believers who are like that, and I respect them deeply. And then I wonder by myself, what is their secret? Why are they like that, that they make me jealous? And actually, I know the answer. I'm sure that you know the answer also. It's the persistent walk with the Lord, day in, day out, month in, month out, year in, year out, a walk with the Lord. They are constantly giving attention to the Lord by seeking his face in prayer and in reading his word. They are in fellowship, of course, with other believers. I mean, all those people, what I'm talking about, they are in fellowship with the brothers and sisters. Because we can't do it on our own. We need the correction of our brothers and sisters all the time. And they are being transformed by him into his likeness through the years. And I'm sure that the Lord intends and likes to restore his image in all of us. I want to conclude with one statement from a minister called Paul Keith Davis. He says, Our highest purpose is to have relationship with him. Intimacy with God, intimacy with the Lord is the essence of our design in creation, and the highest purpose in the restoration of all things, to walk with God in the cool of the evening is still our foremost aspiration. And I say amen to that. I really hope and I really pray that the Lord will recreate His image in me by walking with Him. May the Lord richly, richly bless you as you seek Him and try to reflect His image. Amen.
Thank you, Rafford. An important study on the ethics that we should all be concerned about God's creation. Our brothers and sisters, our enemies. You know, sometimes it's harder to live in harmony and to recognize God's image in our so-called brothers and sisters than even our enemies. And sometimes family members are particularly annoying to us, but the Lord has to give us grace, and so we recognize the work and the handiwork of God in all our relations. And I thank you, Alfred, for this tremendous work that you've been doing. You've been working on this subject for some time now, and it reflects in your study and your presentation to us all.